Welcome to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. You're listening. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. The number to call. And we just had Abraham, who's owner of the K&J Diner, who was in. And you could go ahead and check out the all-you-can-eat waffles and eggs, which is going to be Wednesday. French toast, all-you-can-eat, is going to be Thursday. They will be open on the 4th of July, and we're also going to be posting some info about them on our Facebook page, some different things like that, and a special deal that they're offering for 1180 WFYL listeners. So we should be able to get that on right after the show. If you mention 1180 WFYL to get a deal at the K&J Diner, welcome to the program. So overtime pay is now at the top of President Obama's agenda. There is an overtime rule from the Labor Department which would now more than double the threshold at which employers can avoid paying overtime. And that's from the current $455 a week to $970 a week by next year. So that would mean salaried employees earning less than $50,440 a year would be assured overtime if they work more than 40 hours a week. That's up from the current $23,660 a year. And overtime, of course, being 1.5 times their wage. Obama, in a quote, said, "We've got to keep making sure hard work is rewarded." Obama wrote in an op-ed in the Huffington Post, and this is at a Fox News article I'm reading, "That's how America should do business. In this country, a hard day's work deserves a fair day's pay. To keep up with future inflation and wage growth, the proposal will peg the salary threshold at the 40th percentile of income," individuals familiar with the plan said. They requested anonymity, seems like everyone requests anonymity today, to discuss the proposal ahead of the official announcement. The president was to promote the proposal during a visit Thursday to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Obama's proposal aims to narrow a loophole that the president has long said some employers exploit to avoid paying overtime. And we could spare ourselves the political spin. The bottom line, what this is going to do is it's going to make it harder for businesses who have employers. And don't think, and this is why you can never legislate your way out of these issues, they're not going to be able to increase the amount of money these people are getting paid because, quite frankly, it's probably not there for these businesses. They're just going to cut their hours for the most part. They're going to cut their hours, and they're going to make sure that they don't get overtime. Or if they do get overtime, it's only going to be to a certain amount. You can't pay someone if there's no money there to pay them with. So this really doesn't accomplish anything. What it does accomplish is the government taking more and more control of our businesses. And really, only one person can run a business. So this is a battle between, is the government going to control your business or are you going to control your business? And that, of course, would be communism. You could go into 610-539-TALK if you would like to comment on this. We will take your calls. This is, by definition, middle-class people. This reverses decades of neglect. This is EPI President Larry Mischel, adding that the proposal would also likely create jobs for hourly workers. Now, the current threshold, only about 8% of salaried workers are eligible for 1.5 times their regular pay when they work overtime. Then EPI estimates that doubling the salary level would make up to 40% of salaried workers eligible. Of course, Republicans are opposed to this. There are some beneficiaries, though. If you look at people like Brittany Swah, who's 30, who is a former manager of a Chipotle restaurant in Denver. As a management trainee, she started as an entry-level crew member in March 2010. After several months, she began working as an, quote, apprentice, which required a minimum 50-hour work week. Yet her duties changed little. She had a key to the shop and could make bank deposits, but otherwise spent nearly all her time preparing orders and working the cash register. She frequently worked 60 hours a week, but didn't get overtime because she earned $36,000. The grueling hours continued after she was promoted to store manager in October 2010. She left 2 years later and has joined a class action lawsuit against Chipotle, arguing that apprentices shouldn't be classified as managers exempt from overtime. A spokesman for Chipotle declined to comment on the case. So one way or another, businesses are going to find a way around this. So this is just another political point that President Obama is trying to make with legislation. He's trying to legislate in ways that subvert Congress, while the Labor Department can regulate, and they can have regulations. Of course, you need the regulations to make sure people are playing by rules. You just don't want anarchy in the job sector, of course, but it's got to be balanced, and right now, this really isn't going to do anything. That's the big headline, though, FoxNews.com. Obama's proposal is going to make 5 million more eligible for overtime. But businesses are going to find a way. They're always going to find a way because the money just may not be there. And hopefully, as the economy picks up, people will have more choices to be able to work at one business versus another because they may do things like that, like this class action lawsuit against Chipotle where you have these apprentices who are not being paid overtime because their salaries are lower because they're technically apprentices but have all the duties of managers. Chipotle's trying to get around that. Hopefully, as the economy gets better, people will be able to have more choices where they're able to compete for different jobs and they're able to, and other jobs are able to compete for them, quite frankly. In a good economy, that's how it should work. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We're on our way there, but we're kind of making a slow march out of this recession. But we are, I believe, making a slow march out of the recession. This thing with Chipotle, though, it doesn't surprise me because there are many businesses that do that. They just do that, and they try to cut their costs. But the businesses will always find a way to cut their costs. That's the one thing that people need to realize here. They'll always find a way to cut their costs. Always. And you can't just legislate your way out of it. That's the problem. If you try to legislate your way out of it, then there's always it has to be one or the other. Either you're going to completely legislate the businesses into forcing them to do what you want them to do, or you're going to give them freedom to do what they want to do, and then just let the free market work for itself. And that's the big clash of ideals we're seeing in our country today. A lot of that being driven by President Obama and being driven by different members of Congress, but in large part President Obama with a lot of his policies trying to write with a pen and trying to go around Congress and doing that. So we'll see how this develops, as we will with all stories here, but we're going to move on with the program, though. We've got some more things that are going to be on the agenda for today. Of course you're talking about the ruling. If you're just listening, welcome to the program. 610-539-TALK, the number to call. You're listening to It's a New Day at 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. You can call that number if you'd like to comment. We will go ahead and jump into more topics. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the program about the Supreme Court's ruling on homosexual marriage. And this is huge for the nation. The nation will never be the same. Never, ever be the same. We have made a turn. And many Christians, now this is the other part of homosexual marriage and the Supreme Court's ruling that is going to be in the national spotlight. Where do churches come into this? Where do churches come into this? Where do ministers come into this? Are ministers going to be looked at as members of the state because they can perform a marriage? And because of that, are they going to be forced to perform a marriage? That is the fear of many. Will it be realized? This will not stop merely at just homosexuality, homosexual marriage. This isn't going to stop there. I've seen the rhetoric on, of all places, social media, where it seems to be most heated, but where people who merely have a stance against homosexual marriage ignoring the fact that many leaders who are touting their support of it now, such as President Obama, Hillary Clinton, they were opposite of that years ago, saying they stood for marriage between a man and a woman, now are singing a new song. But where now people who merely look at that as being wrong, homosexual marriage, are being called bigots. Where have we ever had something like that ever happen in our nation before so quickly? I believe it's something spiritual. And again, there's only one answer in all of this, and that is in Jesus Christ. We can't legislate our way out of this one. This is a spiritual battle first and foremost. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we'll be able to figure out what really matters in our nation. Again, that number 610-539-TALK. We'll go ahead and take your calls. We're going to have an interview here in just a moment. You're listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Thanks for listening. We will return with more headlines and commentary right after this.
Hi, this is Carla Dedesi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds, apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
Listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. We have joining us today a very interesting gentleman who's got quite a background. Scott Hamrick. Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me here, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your radio station.
No, it's great to have you. You are with Visible Mission, and you have a background in journalism. You're actually just telling me, we were talking a little bit on the break there, you were in a helicopter flying over Baghdad. I'd like to hear more about that. If you have a question for Scott as well, it's 610-539-TALK, but tell me a little bit. You worked 17 years at the Philadelphia Inquirer as a journalist. How'd you end up in a helicopter over Baghdad?
Well, it was an assignment. I was covering combat medicine, and I volunteered because I believed that photographing the men in Women at War for our nation was an important mission and an important message to bring back to the States. And so I ended up at night over Baghdad in a Black Hawk, and it changed my life.
Wow. How so?
Well, I decided that I'd pretty much done everything I could as a journalist, and that it was time to take the talents that I've been given and put them back into play for purposes beyond myself. It wasn't just enough to make a salary, but rather I wanted to take what I was given, the ability to tell stories and tell other people's stories, the ability to strengthen their missions and their message.
And how does that look then?
Well, today, Visible Mission has 6 people that work for it, and we do everything from video to graphic design to website design, and we try to take those people who are passionate about what they do and help them craft the message that they can then take out and share with the rest of the world.
Visible Mission, is it? Now, you founded Visible Mission.
I did. I founded Visible Mission in 2007, and we went from just a dream and an idea, the ability to basically share people's passion, and we've now grown to 6 people, and we work for clients that are as small as a single-person organization to billion-dollar companies. And we love taking their message. You may be passionate about dogs, or you may be passionate about children, or you may be passionate about helping people with disabilities, and don't necessarily know how to share that passion with the rest of the world. I am passionate about telling stories.
And that's, I always hear that. That's at the heart of all journalism. I always hear whenever a journalist talks, they always talk about the news as a story. This was a great story. And it really is about telling a story, real stories, but telling those stories. So you founded Visible Mission. You've worked with organizations such as Happy to Be Home, which is actually a local organization.
Yes, that's correct. Happy to Be Home is a nonprofit organization that was founded 4 years ago to help children with disabilities stay in their homes. I was sitting in my church one day when I heard the story of Sue Wendell and Charlotte Wendell. And Charlotte was an 8-year-old child that came down with an illness. And in 24 hours, she went from being a happy, bright child to being a child in a coma. And months went by, and she got sent home from the hospital of Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, and she was sent home in a state of a coma. And in order for her to be at home, she had to have Susan had to have her house renovated to allow basically an intensive care unit placed on her first floor. And she, like many parents, would not have the capability to do that. So she basically, the church came together, and they built intensive care unit in her house, and then nursing care was provided. And over the next several months, Charlotte resided there in a state of a coma. And then I heard this story, and I, with several other members of my church, decided that if there was one child like this in our church, how many other kids in our community had that same issue, and how many other kids had issues staying at home with their families rather than being put in institutions? And from that, the Happy to Be Home was formed. We created a 501c3, and we've now helped 26 children, 26 families, 28 children, and giving them the ability through building ramps or self-opening doors or driveways or first-floor bathrooms, the ability for them to stay at home. And that was, I like to think of our team not as people doing this, but rather we're the hands and feet of Christ in our world.
Wow. You actually helped found Happy to Be Home as well then.
Yes, I was one of the core founders. When I first walked up to Pastor Dave and I said to Pastor Dave, I think you might have a nonprofit there. My wife, as we were leaving church, said, "You realize you just volunteered to help found it." And I said, "No, I just had the idea."
The intuition there, speaking volumes. Well, you've been a journalist, or you were a journalist for 17 years at the Philadelphia Inquirer. You got this inspiration in a Black Hawk flying over Baghdad at night to tell stories, I guess, to go ahead and to... you could impact your world in a tremendous way that's more than just earning a salary. So you have not only founded Visible Mission to help people share their stories, you have also in part founded Happy to Be Home, which is a local organization that helps families that have children with medical issues that need special equipment or special kinds of entries or mobility devices. You help them to be able to secure those. What else are you doing? I have a feeling that there's much more to Scott Hamrick here than just these two things.
I also happen to be Deputy Chief of Station 77 Friendship Diving Rescue Unit. We provide underwater search, rescue, and recovery services to Chester County and the parts of Montgomery, Bucks, Lancaster, and Berks County.
Wow. So those are you are a diver?
I am. I didn't. It's when I first joined the unit, my thought was I just graduated from college and I didn't have any money. And I loved scuba diving. I had decided scuba diving would be one of those hobbies I would pursue once I'd graduated, because the things I did in college, jazz band and a fraternity house and ROTC, were things that were ending. And so I picked up this new hobby, and I had no money. And scuba diving is not super expensive, but you need to own equipment, and you need to be able to buy trips on a boat. And I didn't have that ability. So I decided instead that I would join this specialized rescue unit. That way I'd be surrounded by people with talent and skills and would learn to better strengthen my diving ability and at the same time get opportunities to do that. I didn't realize that that would end up being at this point, 23-year-old long passion of basically community service and going out there and doing things beyond just beyond just making money, beyond just serving a salary. Rather, it's giving back of yourself and making more out of your life than just working a job.
And you are doing that in every area of your life, whether it is diving for a rescue squad, or whether it is founding Visible Mission, or whether it is part founding Happy to Be Home. We have Scott Hamrick on the air with us talking about volunteering and community service. And what it all boils down to is also sharing the love of Christ, which you've mentioned as well. But you're in many different things, sir. And that volunteer spirit is modeled in your life, not just in your words. And we're going to continue the conversation with him. I love the picture of you flying in a Black Hawk at night over Baghdad. I love that picture. It's a very powerful image. You could call in at 610-539-TALK if you have a question for Scott. We're going to continue the conversation with him in just a moment on 1180 WFYO.
Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Greece will not make today's deadline to pay back $1.8 billion to the International Monetary Fund, and Greeks are asked to vote Sunday on spending cuts in return for another bailout. Fox's Ashley Webster in Athens.
The Greek Prime Minister last night went again before the nation, saying that we will not accept the austerity measures that are being demanded in order to get our next round of bailout. So he's saying don't vote for these austerity measures, which means Greece could indeed fall out of the eurozone.
They'd no longer use the euro as currency. A recaptured convict is talking.
David Sweat is still in serious condition after being shot by a New York State trooper, but that's well enough to spill the beans. Governor Andrew Cuomo says Sweat told investigators he felt his fellow escapee, Richard Matt, was slowing him down, so they went their separate ways.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. Richard Matt was shot and killed Friday. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Sanford Aldifer Companies offers auction, appraisal, and real estate marketing methods. The Sanford Aldifer Companies is dedicated to ethically and creatively help guide people through the maze of personal property and real estate in transition. For auction, appraisal, and real estate services, visit or shop Sanford Aldifer Companies at their auction center in Hatfield, PA, or online at sanfordaldifercompanies.com. Once again, that's sanfordaldifercompanies.com.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
What was the first settlement in North America? Was it Jamestown or Plymouth? Actually, it was Fort Caroline near St. John's River in Florida. It was founded this day, June 30th, 1564, by the French Protestants known as Huguenots, and was the first attempt at religious toleration in America. A settler recorded, "We sang a psalm of thanksgiving unto God, beseeching him to continue his accustomed goodness toward us." Unfortunately, the French colony was short-lived. The Spanish, whose treasure ships passed that route, destroyed it, butchering hundreds of men and taking captive the women and children.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYO, working for your liberty. Mike Levins here, along with a man who in many ways can be called a public servant. Scott Hamrick is joining us, who not only was a journalist for 17 years at the Philadelphia Inquirer, not only is a founder of Visible Mission, which helps different organizations and companies get their messages across, whatever that may be, using his journalism experience, or whether that is founding Happy or part, in part founding Happy to Be Home, which helps different families who have children with medical issues try to get equipment or treatment that they need, whether that is wheelchair ramps or whether that is a motorized wheelchair itself to help with caring for that child or even being a rescue diver. Mr. Hamrick takes the cake. He's got all of those covered. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Scott, we were talking on the off the air a little bit about, you know, what's the one thing that you really could sum all this up in? And what you described it to me as was really that this life is a blessing and that we shouldn't just be in life to earn a paycheck and move on from one thing to the next, but to really be able to give back. And it's not just for ourselves, it's for others. And you exemplify that.
I don't know if I exemplify it. I can think of other role models that I think of myself as not being the same level. But at the same time, you're right. I really believe that life is not living, but rather what we do with it, what we've been given, the gifts that we have, do we take them and use them to the greatest extent? And I just try to live my life as a servant, as a servant to Christ, and living that out. I've been given gifts. I have a vision. I have mobility. I have all sorts of gifts. And I try to take those gifts and use them beyond just making a paycheck, but rather making a difference to my friends, a difference to my family, and a difference within my community. And I think that's the most important aspect of life. That's where we find satisfaction and happiness. That is how we end up making a difference, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us.
Now, this was a revelation that you had, personal revelation. Again, imagine, if you will, Scott, you can't see him, but I see him. He's a quite dapper-looking man, flying in a Black Hawk helicopter over Baghdad at night. And all of a sudden, this hitting you of, I don't want to work just necessarily for a salary. I want to be able to give back, and getting involved in many different things in order to do that now.
I don't know if that was when the revelation actually struck, but that was when I decided the time had come.
It's quite a moment.
It was. Actually, it was one of those moments where I try to sometimes forget it. But the fact of the matter was that I had spent 17 years working as a photographer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and it was a great 17-year run. I mean, at the time it was 16 years because I worked another year figuring out how to take what I had as an impression and turn it into a reality. But I had worked at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I'd covered, as a photojournalist, I had the opportunity to cover many different things throughout that we would think of as historic. I was in the House of Representatives when they voted to impeach Bill Clinton. I went down to Katrina for Katrina. I had photographed every president up until President Obama. I'd been blessed. I'd been given opportunities to witness history, and I'd witnessed it. But that wasn't enough. At the same time that I was doing all of this, I wasn't seeing my children grow up. I wasn't home to be with my wife. I wasn't spending time with people that mattered. I was witnessing history, but I wasn't necessarily getting the opportunities to do the things that were important to me. And so in this helicopter over Baghdad, I came to the conclusion that I needed to find another job, another career. I needed to move to the next step. I had this great, amazing ability to tell stories, but I wasn't getting to do the things that made life live and breathe. And so I decided the time had come to leave that particular career. And then it was just a matter of figuring out how to do it. And that's where Visible Mission grew out of.
And Visible Mission helps people tell their stories, get their message out there, whether it is just one individual with an organization or whether it's a larger business. That's what Visible Mission helps you do.
Yes. Visible Mission became my career. And it allows me to tell organizational stories beyond the ability of the people who are passionate about what they do. Take their passion and tell that story to the rest of the world to enable them to strengthen their mission and their ability to serve the goals that they desire.
Now, I realize I gave you quite the introduction, but that was with purpose, though, too, because many people can talk about doing certain things, but then there are people who just simply let their actions speak for them. And you seem to be one of those people who let your actions speak. Because of all the different things that you're doing, it's quite the astounding display of different things that you're doing. And you're by the very things you're doing in your life, you're talking about that principle of really giving back. And life is more than just a paycheck. And it's such a blessing to be able to live and to do all these things and to live with purpose. And really to exemplify the message of the gospel even too in these things. You know, if you want to talk about this idea of giving back, it's an idea of really the core is self-sacrifice, which is what Jesus exemplified when he died on the cross.
In 1993, I became a volunteer firefighter. And I came home one night, and my sister, who is a doctor and who I love and respect a great deal, said to me, Why are you deciding to run into burning buildings. Now, I've not run into that many burning buildings. Most of firefighting is going to false alarms. But but at the same time, my sister had a very valid point. She was asking, why was I doing what I was doing? And I looked at her and I said, if not me, who? If everybody says no, then nothing of good works takes place in our community. People have to step up and take a positive, affirmative step towards making a difference in our community. If we all say no, nothing will happen. And so if not I, who's going to go? If I didn't fight fires, yes, we could pay taxes and we could increase the cost of our community and we could pay people to do that. But if all of us volunteer, we have a much greater capability within our community of all the things that can take place and that can be done. And we can reduce the cost of the things that we do because we do it out of a goodwill and a desire to support our community.
That exemplifies the scripture in James. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Now, if that looks like serving your community as a volunteer firefighter, then do it. If that looks like serving your community as a police officer, do it. If that looks like serving the community as spreading the gospel and supporting your family and being there for your children, then do it. But all comes down to do it. That being a hearer, not just hearing the word, but doing the word. As the word encompasses all areas of our lives, everywhere from our job to our family to our prayer life to Sunday mornings, everywhere.
Yes, and it's funny that you should say just do it. But the fact of the matter is in 1993, when I first started running as a firefighter and then became I kind of switched over and became a rescue diver. Part of the reasons why I no longer am a volunteer firefighter is because the most important thing in my life and the most important thing I think that most men can be is being a dad, and that I had to take time. I even recently I've looked at the various things, my various commitments that I make, whether it's coaching lacrosse or being a helping the Boy Scouts or being a deputy chief of my dive rescue unit or president of Visible Mission or president of Happy to Be Home. It's how can I best serve and role model for my children? I have two young men who are growing up in my house, and they're really the most important aspect of my life.
And that's where that's the first thing that is needed in our community, is men who are willing to lead their households, men who are willing to lead their children into young men and young women, to then take up the reins and to lead even our communities, maybe one day. We never know. We never know what they'll develop into. We never know what they'll become. But all of the influence of a dad, you could serve Christ in that way as well, by just being a father and serve your community, giving back by giving first to your children. That's an important call on our men, I think, today, to be able to do that. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. It really was a pleasure to be able to talk with you. If someone would like to get in contact with Visible Mission in particular, maybe they have a message they would like to get out there, how would they do that, Scott?
Visible Mission has a website. It's www.visiblemission.com, and there's a contact form there and my phone number, so they certainly can reach me through that. If you're family and you have a child with needs and you're in this area, I would suggest that you look up Happy to Be Home, which is happytobehome.org, and see if you can apply for support through that organization.
So that's happytobehome.org or visiblemission.com. You could go ahead and visit both those websites if you'd like to get in touch with Scott. Thank you so much, Scott, for everything. It was wonderful to have you on today. We're going to talk about more headlines when we get back after this.
everybody. This is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
Listening to 1180 WFYL to New Day. Mike Levin's here. We talked briefly about the overtime proposal. There was one more thing I wanted to say about that. It was, and I'm looking at the article right now. You know, we've talked about this before on the air, but this idea of covetousness, this idea of income inequality, can I tell you that I believe what it is in many circumstances is a form of covetousness? I want what you have, and I'm going to force you to give it to me. And ask yourself, is that really going to make our nation better? Forget the fact that covetousness is a sin for the moment, although that is the most important fact. Is that going to really make our nation better? Covetousness, though, is where this all starts, and sin is going to destroy our nation, just like this homosexual marriage ruling by the Supreme Court will destroy our nation. 610-539-TALK, the number to call on that.
cheery note, 610-539-8255. Headlines, it does seem interesting that one thing absent is the ruling on the Supreme Court, because this is going to have more repercussions than we realize. This is going to have repercussions that are going to continue on and on and on. Here is an article from CNN. Will same-sex marriage make America healthier? I just read a little bit here. A few weeks ago, Carlos Santos Herrera was in a hospital bed, ill with a rare, severe form of strep throat. He was weak but conscious and worried. His family members' religious beliefs differ from his own, and he didn't want to leave decisions about his care in their hands. His partner, David Herrera Santos, was unable to make any decisions on his behalf because they weren't legally married and couldn't be in their home state of Georgia, where same-sex marriage wasn't legal. He was powerless, completely powerless, Santos Herrera said. The hospital would not recognize David as my partner, only as a friend. He survived the medical scare, but it was on his mind last week when the pair embraced as newlyweds on the steps of an Atlanta courthouse. After a Supreme Court decision made same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states, David and Carlos married and are now able to enjoy legal benefits, including decision-making power in healthcare and changes to their health insurance. They believe these changes will help keep them healthier and less stressed, but what about the rest of the country? Will same-sex marriage make America healthier? From a biblical point of view, how can you see that? Is the question that I pose. As Christians, we have a right. And remember, Paul used his right as a Roman citizen to try to free himself from prison and basically demand a trial, so to speak, in quotations there. As Christians, as Americans, we have a right to be able to voice our opinion to what would be better for our country. And there is nothing better for our country than biblical values, than scriptural laws, really. Because if we do not have those, we will bear the consequences of sin. This is a spiritual issue. I've said that so many times. How can same-sex marriage make our country better? Well, here's one argument. According to some experts referenced in the CNN article, absolutely, same-sex marriage will make America healthier. That's what all the medical literature says. This is Dr. William C. Buffy, a physician at St. Francis Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, who researched public health implications of same-sex marriages. Happy marriages can improve health. Little research exists specifically about same-sex marriages, and because it's challenging to determine the number of people who identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, it's not clear how many people will be affected by Friday's Supreme Court ruling. But numerous studies have shown that a happy heterosexual marriage gives individuals a healthy boost, including better access to health care, longer lifespans, lower rates of depression. That applies to same-sex marriage as well. How can that apply to same-sex marriage if those statistics are for heterosexual marriages? You're comparing apples and oranges. There are no two things that are completely different, because marriage is a biblical picture. A biblical picture of Christ in the church. This is going to continue because in the beginning of this article, his family members' religious beliefs differ from his own. Make no mistake about it, this is going to put a wedge between Christians and their nation. more and more. It's going to start with pastors. And it won't stop there. This is about some special treatment. This isn't about equality. This is something that Satan is going to use to take our nation and eventually to get us to suffer the consequences of sin. As Christians, we can live and we could prosper, and the church is going to get stronger, I believe, and we're going to see God's Spirit move in this nation like we never have before as the church becomes persecuted. This is going to be the beginning of it. The church is already persecuted in Canada, where it is illegal to speak out against homosexuality. From the pulpit, most certainly. And we already have ministers who have already said that they, no matter what happens, no matter what law is passed, that they will not change. They will speak out against homosexuality because it is scriptural that homosexual marriage, homosexuality, is sin. The church will not back down, and we're going to see a dividing line in the church, and we're going to see the true church come out in these days. And this issue is going to show that. Because now, when persecution comes, lines are quickly drawn, and we have no more time for political posturing. Things are going to move much quicker in our nation after this decision than we ever believed. I think we're on a bad path as a nation. The question is, it may be too late for this nation, but it's never too late for you or I, because the answer to all of these things, a nation will rise and a nation will fall, but the answer to everything, all these things, all of our problems in life, is Jesus Christ, and it's never too late to accept Jesus Christ, and that will remain true. The gospel will always be true. Thank you so much for listening. We're ending the program here today, but remember, in all these things, Jesus Christ is Lord. And his arms are always open, no matter how far we are, no matter if we are in a homosexual marriage or not. Jesus Christ's arms are always open for us to turn from our sin and to come to him, because he is the one truth, the life, and the way for us. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9. Mike Levins here. Thank you so much for listening on 1180 WFYL, Working for Your Liberty. Laura Ingram is next.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.